Well, again, welcome. We are week number 14. And God's love endures forever. His love endures forever. This series will not endure forever. But His love does. Everything doesn't endure forever, does it? In fact, we don't know much on this planet that stays the same. Maybe past our lifetime some things do, but you know, the planet's changing all the time and human life is changing, so it's unusual to hear something's going to last forever, but God's love does. The next slide has Psalm 136, verse 1, beginning of Psalm 136. The Lord is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. That means His love never changes. That means His love never wavers. That means He won't love you more tomorrow than He does today. He cannot love you any more tomorrow than He already does. He loved you in the past before you were ever born. His love is always there. It's always constant. We don't know anything like that on this planet, but His love is always constant, and it's always full speed, and it's always full force. You say, even when I mess up, even when I don't live up to what He wants me to do, yes, His love endures forever. Now, in thinking about that, we've been looking at some scriptures and some passages, and so I put the subtitle up there is Focused on the Enduring Love. Focused on the Enduring Love. Before you lose heart, learn how to focus on His enduring love. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 for a little bit. Before you lose heart, I hope you're not there, but a lot of people are. What does it mean to lose heart? You just give up. I tried, and I tried again, and I tried again, and I can't make it happen. I don't know why I'm so wrong. I don't know why I'm not acceptable. I don't know why I'm failing all the time. I don't know why. I just give up. I just lose heart. And the extreme sometimes is people actually take their own life because they lost heart. They lost courage. They couldn't make another day happen. They just got to the point where I'm just done. Before you get there, focus on something. You know, focus is everything, isn't it? We've had a lot of wrecks ever since cell phones came on board and people driving up the road and they're not focused on the road, looking at that phone, and then they hit something. Is focus important? It really is. Yeah, a lot of people fall down the stairs because they're not focused on where they put their feet. A lot of people, their marriages break up because they're not focused on the other person enough. Focus. What are we supposed to focus on? Well, I put up there, like God's enduring love, is His love always there? Yeah. You know somebody loves you that much? It might be not another person on this planet that cares anything about you. But if you believe in God, you know. If you believe in Jesus, you know that God will love you always. Always, even when I mess up, yes. Even when I turn my back on Him, yes. His love is always there. Doesn't mean He liked what you're doing. Doesn't mean He agrees with what you're up to. He's sometimes made sad by the way we behave, but He still loves you. Enduring love. Let's look at enduring love for a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I put that scripture up there, therefore we do not lose heart. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly, we are wasting away. Now, if you're young, you may not realize it, but you will. If you live long enough, we are wasting away on the outside. Though we are wasting away, yet inwardly, we are being renewed every day. Is that good news? Your spirit, once you're born again, this is good news now. Your spirit, once you're born again, that spirit will never age. You're done aging. Now your body still ages, doesn't it? But God has a plan to give you that body back in the resurrection, all glorified, made new. And so, meantime, the body wastes away, What about the inner person? For the believer, because the Holy Spirit is in you, you get renewed. You ever heard anybody say, I've said that to people, and I had a lady who's getting close to 99 years old agreed. I said, you know, I get older, but I still feel like the same person on the inside. She said, oh, me too. 99, close to 99, and she still felt like that same little girl running around the playground, you know, wishing she could go out and run around. You're renewed every day on the inside as a believer, as a Christian. Since you're renewed every day on the inside, look at the next verse. Pardon me. 2 Corinthians 4:18. So, verse 16, now you come down to verse 7. Let me just get, it's not on the screen here, but verse 17 says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory. That's 2 Corinthians 4:17. Light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. He says your suffering is going to be rewarded. Your walk through this life, if you're a believer, your walk through this life is going to be rewarded. How's it going to be rewarded? You'll be raised to glory. We studied glory for 2 weeks now in this same series. You're going to get a body just like the one Jesus has now. You're going to have a perfect body in heaven. Meantime, you go be with him and you're in a perfect place and you're yourself and you're a free spirit. But when the resurrection is over, you get a body that is just like his. And you receive that eternal glory. What's glory? It's everything but evil. There is no evil in heaven. There is no tragedy in heaven. There is no death in heaven. There is no loss of personality in heaven. There is no wasting away in heaven. You get resurrected and you get it all back. You get a great experience forever. Fulfillment forever. And he says here in verse 17, our light and momentary troubles, that's the part that's wasting away. What's a light and momentary? Light means there's some suffering involved, but I can handle it through God. And momentary means it's not forever. It's not forever. It's passing. Your troubles are beginning to show up in the rearview mirror. You're making progress. Your troubles are behind you. Now, there are some maybe ahead, but most of them are behind you. When you get to be my age, most of life's behind me in this planet, and then I have a great, glorious future in heaven. You do too. So he said you have these light and momentary troubles. But what are they doing? You're pushing through those, and you're building something. You're getting somewhere. You're building a future. You're building a future that's going to be glorious. Then he comes to the verse that's on the screen there. Is verse, which one is that? 18. So we do what? Fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Now wait a minute. How can I fix my eyes on something that's invisible? He's telling me to look at something, fix your eyes on something invisible. But by the very nature of unseen or invisible, these naked eyes in your head can't find it. You can't see it. There are dogs out there that can hear much more than you can hear, smell much more than you can smell. There are bugs out there that can see in the infrared, see much more than you can see. There's a whole invisible world to us that's just as real as this pew right here, just as real. The angels are just as real as the pew you're sitting in. The angels are just as real as this building. They're out there, but you can't see them. So he said, fix your eyes on what you cannot see. Now I'm telling you how not to lose heart. This is how you not lose heart. Because you stop looking at the wasting away part. Stop looking at that. You know, some people get old, and then they get older, and they have health issues, and they're still so full of joy. You know people like that? They're still so happy, full of joy. You say, how can you be so happy? How can you be so happy? Look at what you're going through. Well, if you are focused on the wrong thing, you'll be unhappy. Perpetually unhappy. So what do happy people focus on? Things that make them happy. What do they not focus on? Things that make them waste away. Fix your eyes on what? Not on what is seen, what is unseen. Because what is, he goes on to say here, what is seen is temporary. Is this building here temporary? Oh no, it'll be here forever. I get a post on Facebook from a group that I grew up in Meridian, Mississippi. That's where I was born. And it used to be a town with some amazing architecture. Most of it's been torn down. And people complain about it all the time on this Facebook page. It's like, why are they tearing down these old buildings? I mean, some of them has amazing architecture. And they needed a parking garage. So they tore it down. It happens around here too, doesn't it? Remember the places, those of you that grew up around here, do you remember some places, Monroe, West Monroe, that aren't there anymore? Got torn down. If you can see it, it's temporary. I'm temporary, at least in this condition. It's a temporary life. And once you grasp that and you deal with that, you can be happy in the middle of temporary life. And you can be happy even though those you love have gone on. And you can be happy even though you look at your body and you say, well, it's wasting away. But my happiness is not here. My life is not here. This is not the place to find your happiness. Let me give you a news flash. This world ain't here to make you happy. People say, it's not fair. It's not fair. Oh, you finally woke up and smelled the coffee. The world is not fair. There's a passage, not on the screen here, but there's a passage where John wrote in 1 John. And he talked about that. The whole world, he's talking about man's world, mankind's world. The whole world is under the control of the evil one. He stole it. It doesn't belong to him, but he stole it. And he stole it from Adam and Eve. We're still living in the aftermath of all that. This world's not going to make you happy. And it's not going to be fair to you. And you're not going to get everything you want. And things are not going to always work out the way you thought they would. Now it does say in Romans 8, God works in all things for the good of those who love Him. It'll all work out for good for you if you love God. This world's not here to make you happy. It's not their job. It's not their job. People think, oh, if I had $50 million, everybody would pay attention to me. Yeah, they would. You'd find relatives you didn't know you had. You'll have cousins coming out of the woodwork. Don't you remember me? I'm your cousin. Can I borrow some money? There's nothing you can find in this life that will permanently make you happy. There's nothing you can find in this life that will solve all your problems quickly. So what do you have to do? What's his advice? What's the Holy Spirit's advice? So we fix our eyes not on what is seen. Why? Because what is seen is temporary. Now you experience it and you live in it and you make it work, but you don't fixate. We use the word fixate sometimes. He's fixated on that. Well, don't get fixated on this world. People that are fixated on this world are the most miserable people that exist. So change that, he says. Shift your focus. And he says, fix on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. It's eternal. The great values in life you can't see with these eyes and hear with these ears. The great values in life come from the Spirit. The great values in life come from the Word of God, from your Spirit, and from the Holy Spirit in you. Valuable things that Peter talked about, we read it earlier, where Peter talked about these troubles we have, of building a great weight of glory for us. So what are you going to decide to focus on? I don't know about you, but I'm going to focus on Jesus. I'm going to focus on God's Word. I'm going to focus on my church family. I'm going to focus on what God's calling me to do. Because he said, if you focus on what's temporary, you're kind of being foolish. You're kind of being foolish. Imagine two ships out at sea and the storm starts coming up and One ship captain calls to the other one and said, this storm's going to be pretty bad. If I pull alongside of you, will you take my anchor on your deck and secure me? Is that going to secure that ship? No, they're both moving. They're both moving. What's he got to do? Put the anchor down somewhere where he can't see, unseen. Go down far enough into the deep to grab some solid ground, some bedrock, and it'll hold that ship in place. That's what he's saying here. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Anchor yourself in something solid. Anchor yourself in something solid. Let's go to Philippians 3. That's on the screen next. Philippians chapter 3. Somewhere I got it here. It starts about verse 19. Philippians 3, verse 19. Well, he's talking about in verse 17, join with me and with others in following thy example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you for. As I've often told you before, say now again with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Do we have enemies of the cross in our modern world? Oh, everywhere. Everywhere. Too much of it in government now, don't we? Don't want anything to do with the Bible, anything to do with the cross. Can't wear a cross in some places. Enemies. Verse 19. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. How'd they get that way? Look at the next verse. How'd they get that way? Their mind is on earthly things. Enemies of the cross. Their mind is on earthly things. Their mind is set on visible. Their mind is set there. It is located or set on the visible. Therefore, their mind is set on the temporary. They don't have any time for Jesus because they're looking at the temporary. Got to make more money. Got to be more happy. Got to find some more drugs. Got to find the right person to live with. Will all that pass away? So look at the things that are solid. Look at the things that are eternal. Their mind is on earthly things. But our, verse 20, citizenship is where? What does it mean, citizenship? Your real home, oh, let this sink in. Your real home is not here. We love our houses. We love our places where we like to get comfortable. There's no place like home, Dorothy said, I think, in that movie. But it's not here. It's not here. It's sad to see someone who gets to a point in life where they have to leave their home and go to a nursing home. I've seen that. I saw it with my dad one time. It's just terrible. The home is a place we love. If you've got a good home and you've got a decent place to live, it's a place where you can be comfortable and just shut out the world for a while. But your real home, your citizenship's not here. Your real home is not here. You may brag about your American citizenship, or whatever country you're from, but that country will not last. America will not last forever. I hate to break the news, but it's not going to last forever. It may last till Jesus comes back, but even then, it's over. Where's your real home, Christian? Believer, where's your real home? It's with Christ. It's in heaven. He said it here. He said, our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, verse 20. And it's not on the screen here, but I put the scripture says, and we eagerly await a Savior from there. From where? Where my real home is. Jesus lives there. He came to this earth 33 and a half years, did his work, died for our sins on the cross. Then he was resurrected and glorified in heaven as the Son of God at the Father's right hand. And he's there and coming back one day. Why is he coming back? To gather all his people up. And then this temporary world will be over. And we live in a new, permanent, new heavens and new earth. We wait a Savior from there, who by the, verse 21, Philippians 3:21, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will do what? Transform our lowly bodies. Do what? Transform our lowly bodies to be what? Just like his glorious body. See, all this stuff I've been talking about, I didn't make it up. Some people think that was too good to be true. Why would God want us to look like him? We're such ragged, terrible people, sinners. I didn't make it up. He said, he made the promise. He said, one day you're going to walk around looking just like Jesus, and Jesus is the Son of God, so we're going to walk around looking like deity in heaven. And the angels are going to worship us in the sense that, the Bible says, Paul wrote that one time, that the Christians in Corinth were not able to get together and settle issues. And he said, don't you have anybody in your congregation that can make a decision if two believers get crossed up with each other? Because he said, know you not that we shall judge angels? You've got a future with Christ in heaven where you're with him and you're like him and you look like him, and the angels look at you, you think they're looking at Jesus. That sounds too good to be true. Not if you're a believer. Oh, we need to be believers. We need to stop being so cynical and critical and doubting everything. I know you've been disappointed in life. Life has hammered you sometimes, and you think, I can't trust anybody. Oh, you can trust him, because he didn't do that to you. The devil did that to you. Our citizenship is in heaven. What are we waiting for? Him to come back and give us glorious bodies just like his. Look at Colossians chapter 3 on the slide there, the next one. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Wait a minute. I haven't been raised with Christ. Oh, yes, you have. Oh, yes, you have. Oh, I haven't been. What did he just tell us to do? Don't look at what you can see. Look at what you can't. So what can you not see? God has already in his own mind and in his own will raised you from the dead and made you a place in heaven. That's why the Bible says more than one place. Since then you have been raised with Christ. You have a position. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You got a place. You got reservations. We know what reservations are. You walk into a theater somewhere and everybody's trying to find a seat, and you look at the seats and you see your name on one of the seats, reserved for, and it's got your name on it. Is it okay for you to sit there? Got your name on it. Your name is written in heaven. Christian. I'm talking about believers here. The world doesn't get this. The world doesn't get this or even understand it or even know what I'm talking about. They don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Sounds boring to them because you don't have it in your spirit. But for the one who has the Spirit of God active in them, they're locking in on everything. They're saying, yeah, I see that. I understand that. I know that. I say some more. Tell me some more because I want to hear. I want to hear what God is saying to me. Since then you've been raised with Christ, chapter 3 of Colossians, starts at verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ, do what? Are you looking at it? Set your hearts on things above. What does that mean? Focus. Focus on the end of the story. Now, a lot of fictional stories these days don't have happy endings, right? I remember when I was growing up, most stories you'd see in the movies or TV or whatever had happy endings, and people got tired of that and they said, no, we want the real thing. Life is grubby and life is hard and life is tough, so we don't want to see happy endings anymore. And sometimes in your life you wonder if it's going to be a happy ending. For the believer, there is a happy ending. Oh, glorious. Glorious ending. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. How much plainer can he be? How much plainer can the Holy Spirit say it? I was a kid playing on the playground. Some kid would come out with a bunch of profanity, and somebody would say, "Get your mind out of the gutter." What were they saying? Stop saying that. Get your mind. What does he tell us here? How much plainer can it be? Set your affections, your heart, and set your mind, your thinking, on the happy ending. You're going to be raised from the dead. You're going to be just like Jesus. You're going to be walking around heaven just like he does. You're going to be with him. You're going to sit. He sits at the right hand of the Father. The place of honor is what that means. We all get the place of honor with him. We didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But the Bible says what's going to happen at the resurrection, at the judgment, God is going to show everybody, devil included, how full of grace he is. That he saved people like us and made us what we could never be on our own. He made us like Jesus, his own beloved son. And all the angels and all the demonic forces that hear of it, and all the devil himself. Why did he do that? Doesn't he see who they really are? Yes, he sees who we really are. But God's in love endures forever, right? He loves us, and it's an enduring love all the way into the heavenly realms. So set your hearts on things above. He says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. I just said that a while ago, that we don't think we've been raised yet, but the Bible says we have. Yeah, you can't see it with your eyes yet. But you are a resurrected person. You've already gotten it. You've already, because of Christ, you already have it. You are raised. And he goes on to say, for you died, verse 3, Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. You died. Well, no, I didn't. Well, yes, you did. Ever heard of being born again? The old self, the old man died, and the new man has come to life. The new person is alive. You've been born again. That's it. The old person is gone. The old person is gone. I remember a story about a man who had an addiction to alcohol and a lot of problems, and he beat his wife all the time. And finally, his whole family, the wife's family, just estranged themselves from him, wouldn't have anything to do with him because he beat the lady up so much. And this man, it was so bad, alcoholic, and beat up people, and he got saved, and he changed, completely changed. Went to see his father-in-law. His father-in-law said, "I told you, you better not show up at my house again." And name James or whatever his name was, told you not to show up at my house again. And the man said, "Well, I believe you got the wrong person. That man's dead. That man's dead. This is me. I'm new. I'm not him anymore." Do we get a new life? Are we born again into a new life? Verse 3, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. See, I haven't been making all this up. It sounds too good to be true, but it's true. Don't be so cynical that you can't believe what the Bible says. Where's your focus? Colossians 3 said, put it in the right place, right? Don't have much time, but we'll get this one quickly. Romans chapter 8, verse 35, a beautiful passage. You can read it on your own later because I won't get to have time to nearly do it justice. But Romans chapter 8, I'll just read some of it. Verse 35, if you don't love the Bible, what I'm saying makes no sense to you. Did you know if you're not a believer, you might be a wonderful person, but if you're not a believer, the Bible is a closed book to you. You won't even understand it. It won't make sense. If it doesn't make sense. In Romans 8, in Romans chapter 8, Let me give verse, I think this one's on the screen. Yeah, verse 35, isn't it? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Are we talking about love that cannot be separated? Love that is enduring. Enduring love is constant. So he says here, who will separate us? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. What's he talking about? Do your hardships and problems separate you from his love? No. They're not fun. And he feels for you and he answers your prayers to help you through that. But doesn't mean he quit. You know, you have bad things happen. Some people immediately say, well, where's God? I thought God loved me. Paul just said, it has not separated you. It may be the work of the devil trying to destroy you, but it doesn't mean God stopped loving you. Who shall separate us? Verse 35. Then he goes to verse 37. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors. We don't just conquer. We overwhelm the enemy. We're going to overwhelm the devil. We're doing it right now. This word is doing it right now. We're overwhelming him. That's why the Bible says, resist him and he'll run from you. You got the power in you if you're a believer. No, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. How do we conquer? By his love. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ, from the love of God that is in Christ. Never be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He loves his son Jesus to the max. When you come into Jesus, you find that love, don't you? And that's an eternal love, a love that endures forever. Nothing can separate us from that love. This next slide, I simply put this up. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. How do we walk? We believe. We are believers. We believe the best. The world doesn't do that. But the world's temporary. So why do with what they do? Why side with them? We are believers, so we believe. What do we believe? That I'm going to walk by faith, my belief. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm not going to let this temporary world throw me off track because it's all temporary. Walk by faith and not by sight. So I put this statement. A focus on enduring love builds on the rock, not on the sand. Remember Jesus' parable? It's in Matthew 7, chapter 7. He said, a person who listens to my words and does them. It's like a man who builds a house on the rock, solid rock. You know, it's rock, solid foundation. He who hears my words and what does them. Doesn't just hear it. He actually practices what he's learning. There's been a lot learned in here today in these class and then in this time. Go out and practice it. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice. It's like a man who builds a house on the sand. Did anybody think about just, you know, go out a place and rake off the grass and build a house right there? No, you wouldn't do that. You said you build it on the sand, what happens? A storm comes. Well, a storm always comes, as long as we're in this temporary world. The storm comes and the house is collapsed. And he says, one version says, great was the crash thereof. That house got totally destroyed. What are we supposed to focus on? Him, God's love. If you focus on the love of God, that it always is there, it always endures, you have a solid base. A solid base in the invisible. You can't see it. And the eternal. The last slide, we've got our notebook here. I'm going to pray over this notebook, but if you look at what it says on the screen there. We put our hope in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially those who believe. Why would he say that? Is Jesus potentially the Savior of all people? He'll save anybody that comes. Save anyone that wants it. But the believer, especially those who believe, the believer is the one who said, I accept that. I believe that. I want that life. And you accept it. We pray that for the folks in this notebook, don't we? This notebook I have up here, and most of you know what this is, but it's a notebook. It's like any other notebook, but we pray over this book. We have names in here that you have turned in. Some other people have too, pages and pages of names. And so what we're doing is praying, and these people do not know Christ. They don't know anything like what I've been talking about today. And some of them did, but they fell away, so we're praying for these folks. We believe, we know that prayer works, doesn't it? We know that God hears and answers our prayers. So when we pray, when I'm praying up here, you be praying for the folks you know. Pray for Marilyn's family. I told them at the funeral. I said, first time I met Marilyn, lady had just passed away. First time I met her was on the telephone, and she had a list of people she wanted me to pray for, her family mostly. So do those prayers matter? So when I pray over these people in the notebook here, you be praying on your own about people you know. Father, we are grateful, so grateful for all you have done for us. And as you have blessed us with all these good things, we pray that you strengthen us with power through your spirit and the inner being. We want to pray for these folks, and we want to see them grow, and we want to see them come to Christ. Thank you, Father, for blessing them. We pray that they will receive, and they will come, and they will open their hearts to what you're telling them, to how you're working with them. May they be able, Father, by your power, to see the invisible and stop focusing on the visible. We're grateful to you, Father, and we thank you. In Christ's name, amen.